It's been a disappointment for the Manly Seagulls. They went close against the West Tigers, didn't they? 22 points to 20. A long-range kick.
So that little patch about 5-10 minutes early in the second half changed the game for them, unfortunately.
Defensively, they were just terrible. But there's so many other things going on in the game of rugby league. Let's have a chat with our man, Peter Peters. Always puts the pads on, the helmet, comes out and aims up. So it's great to have him on this morning. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah, it's been an emotional week at Manly. And I was a bit disappointed today. Trent Barrett has said for the past 10 days he would return serve when the time was right over his coaching career dispute at the Seagulls. Well, I reckon he's double-faulted today. It's a poor tradie who blames his tools. Have a look at the points table, Baz. One rung from the bottom with almost the same side that almost finished top four last season. I've worked and watched training at the Sydney Academy of Sport, which is Manly's training headquarters, for 15 years.
Yep.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with the training facilities. There are four training grounds at their disposal. There are indoor facilities in case it rains, a great swim centre, great training track, and a private refurbished gym, which was only completed 2 years ago exclusively for the players. What's more, there are specialist sports doctors are on site. Their offices are on site and a one-minute walk from the training field. Early this year, Channel 9 news cameras were alerted that Barrett would meet his manager for a crisis meeting over his coaching future in his manager's Eastern Suburbs offices. We spoke about this earlier in the year. What a shock. Shots of Barrett going to the meeting were there on Channel 9 News that night. Who alerted them? I'll leave our listeners to decide that. Manly have made four grand finals in 10 years out of their training headquarters. Barrett wanted a chance to coach in the NRL. He knew what he was in for when he went to Manly, and after three seasons in charge of the most successful club in the modern era, he really has an ordinary success rate of about 40% with a playing roster which includes three origin players, the two Trbojeviches and Daly Cherry Evans. They will be international players come a couple of weeks, and two New Zealand test props. Why is Marty Taupau starting on the bench? Why was Jackson Hastings driven out? Why was Blake Green allowed to leave when there was no replacement signed? The answers to those questions, in my view, all fall at Barrett's feet. My view is that his problems started just over 12 months ago when his assistant coach and mate at the time, Willie Peters, was bullied and reacted in that well-publicised brawl. It's been all downhill since.
Zorba, last week you said that you felt that Trent Barrett was going to be the coach that could lead Manly forward. Clearly, 7 days later, that's not the case. And is it just the fact that he has spoken publicly and he's the article by Phil Rothfield in today's Sunday Telegraph? Is that the difference?
Well, there are different views, aren't there? If you look at the Herald today, and Danny Wilder's got a completely different view. So, look, I like Baz. I just think that, Manly won the 20s last year. They won the 16s, almost in the top four. That's when Bob Fulton left, and that's when Trent Barrett's gone downhill. Now, there are some suggestions today in that article that they are not at in any sort of dispute. I can say that the association is not what it was.
Interesting. Well, Zorb, who coaches Manly in 2019?
Well, look, we spoke last week about John Cartwright, who at the time was under the same management as Barrett. He signed on for another 2 years.
Yep.
At Barrett's request. Look, Manly are digging in over this. I haven't seen them as strong on... They want to fight this. I think it's sad that a great player, and I think he can be a terrific young coach, Trent Barrett. I just think sometimes, and this is what I've always said to players that I like and coaches that I like, that you are the boss of your manager. You pay him to do what is best for you. You tell him what you want to do. I just think that sometimes that changes.
Has the management at the Manly Seagulls spoken to other coaching candidates, most notably Michael Maguire, who's a premiership-winning coach from the South Sydney Rabbitohs?
I can't answer that question truthfully because I don't know. I don't know who they've spoken to. I just know that other coaches have contacted them. Jeff Tuvey and Des Hasler have already said they probably would go back if offered. I don't know whether that's going to happen, but if you ask me now, I think John Cartwright will be Manly's coach next season.
Okay, so the deal will be upgraded from what he... because he signed on as an assistant coach.
Mm. Yep, obviously.
Okay, and that's despite the record of Michael Maguire being a lot stronger than John Cartwright's.
Well, maybe Maguire doesn't want it. We don't know that. He hasn't spoken out, has he?
But shouldn't someone at the club put in a call if they've...
Well, as I said to you before, Jim, I don't know if they have or they haven't. I'm not privy to that information. It's none of my business, and they wouldn't consult me on something like that, I can assure you.
Well, that'd be ridiculous if they didn't consult you, Zorba.
Well, you said that, I didn't.
Yeah, well, is the club still for sale?
I'm not sure. I from what I hear, no, it's not.
Zorb, just... back on Barrett, if I can. You mentioned the Willie Peters incident last year and things started to go downhill after that. What has been, well, is there an issue between Barrett and Fulton? And if so, what is it?
Oh, I don't know what it is. I just know that they're not as close as they were.
Mm.
Is that it sounds like it's a prerequisite to be working at Manly that you have to have a good relationship with Bob Fulton. Is that right?
No, but when he was in the role he was in, most certainly you would need to. I mean, Fulton gave Barrett a chance. Obviously, with the aura around him, you would consult him, surely.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move forward, Zorb. Tough week there for Manly.
It's a tough week, but look, I'll come back from it. The club's bigger than any individual, any person. That's a mighty club. It's a club that wants success, that demands success, and they'll get it back. Everyone goes up and down. I mean, they've never had the wooden spoon, and I dreaded the results this weekend. It looks like Parra will get it now, but nothing's for certain.
No.
If we can move on, Zorb, Dylan Knaap, Jim and I have been discussing this morning. We've had plenty of feedback from our listeners. What was your take on that tackle on McCulloch last night?
Almost a carbon copy of the one that didn't get the first base earlier in the year. I mean, it's not Knaap's fault that he clashed heads. You know, that happens in rugby league when you get in strange positions in a tackle where you've got a split second to decide what your target area is. I don't think that the tackle... or the attempted tackle, there was anything wrong with it. I was shocked when he went to the sin bin.
Which he did last time as well. So,
yeah.
But remember last time he wasn't charged by the match review committee. Now, Todd Greenburn came out and said that he didn't think that was right, which is a dangerous precedent to set. My question is on this, Zorb, and people say, oh, you're sticking up for a Roosters. What are you charging with?
Well, they've obviously got to charge him with a dangerous tackle, but I don't think it was. I think it was an accident.
Mm.
And look, they've set a precedent also, the review committee, because they didn't deem he had a case to answer last time.
Yep.
There's nothing different this time.
That's right.
I've got no axe to grind in this issue. I just was shocked when he was sent to the sin bin too, and then put on report. Same referee didn't stick last time.
Yeah, now it'll be interesting. So watch that space, Jonathan Thurston. He had a fitting farewell in Townsville.
Yeah.
They spanked the Eels.
Where's that form been all year? Just a tremendous farewell for a great, great player. It all worked out well. Thank God for a change. The fairy tale finish came through, not where he wanted to be.
No.
But things are not looking too bad for the Cowboys. I like the look of Jake Clifford, the young 5'8", and
yes.
I think that next season... he can really form a partnership with Michael Morgan, and I think they'll bounce back strongly. I like the look of Geller Mosby, the winger, and they're going to be a pretty good outfit next season. I think, you wouldn't read about them being down where they are.
Incredible, isn't it? Cbus Super Stadium sold out next week for the final game of Jonathan Thurston. Sold out already. Penrith, that I just can't believe the way they've fallen away. And I said it earlier, that whether Phil Gould did the right thing or not in sacking Anthony Griffin, you want a response from your players, but not this response.
No, certainly not. They're struggling, aren't they? And the young coach would be scratching his head. He's made a couple of changes. They look really clunky, and I'm surprised their forwards are being outplayed like they have been in recent times. And the form of Nathan Cleary is sending out distress signals. Is the season too long on top of Origin for the young bloke? Has it been too much? But certainly Sean Johnson, he was a 10 out of 10, and Cleary was a 3.
Yeah, Johnson can do that in every one of those games, can't he?
He can, and I'm still not convinced about the Warriors, but I wouldn't have thought they would do that to Penrith without Blake Green at 5'8". Every time that young Mason Leno steps in, he just does a good job.
Yeah, goes well, doesn't he? I asked Laurie Daly, Australian selector, on Friday. I'll ask you, who should be Australian halfback at the end of the year?
Oh, I think Daly Cherry Evans should be. I think his form's been fantastic in a side that's gone poorly. He was good again the other night, scored 2 tries, led his side well. He was great in Origin. No doubt in my mind that he should be.
Yeah.
Hey, Saul, obviously the sad news early in the week, Reed Lance Thompson, Mary McGregor, who said the St George players will be playing in memory of Lance this afternoon. Yeah, some things, it puts a certain perspective on life, and this is one example, isn't it, Saul?
Well, terribly sad at just 40 years of age. One of the best teenage players I've ever seen. Came into first grade at a very young age, and he was tough and he was skillful.
Yeah.
Bit of character about him. Going to be very emotional today where referee Henry Perinara, who played alongside Lance Thompson as a teammate at St George and at Cronulla, I think. He will be the man with a whistle today. So I imagine that it'll be tearing at his heartstrings too. It'll be very emotional when the Red and White Army, the big red V, farewell. One of their favourite sons today.
He was very popular with the fans, no doubt about
that. He was. That's just dreadful.
Yeah.
Yep. Shocking. Zappa for today, mate. We've got the Sharks $1.26, the Knights $4, and then the Dragons, that game at just after 4 o'clock, $1.50, up against the Bulldogs $2.65.
Before we get on to that, I can't help but say the Storm are false leaders. They can't win with a team as it was last night. They got 8 out of 11 penalties and fell over the line against the Titans, who should have taken some shots at goal early in that first half when they were well on top and they led 8-0 at half time. It could easily have been 12 or 14, and that would have been enough as it turned out. But they need to lift their game, although they'll finish probably top two now, and that'll be a big help to them. Dragons, better for and against, and they're chasing a top four spot today. Against the Bulldogs, I think they'll do that and cover the start.
Right.
And I think the Sharkies will do likewise against the Knights. Those two sides and those two games will be played not far apart down on the south side of Sydney today. And I think the Sharks and the Dragons will get home. And Ray Thomas, I'm sure you've spoken about it today, but I couldn't help but feel what a great sporting moment yesterday when Michelle Payne and her horse, Sweet Rockette, trainer jockey, beat the great trainers yesterday at Moonee Valley, and there was an odds-on pop in the race. And Michelle just keeps doing it, doesn't she?
First
female to win the Melbourne Cup. And yesterday, I thought, a great moment in her great career.
Yeah, and likened it to winning a Melbourne Cup too. So it's very popular in Australian racing, Michelle, and world racing, and quite rightly so.
And not allowed to do it in New South Wales.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
How stupid is that? Talk about equal opportunities. Why doesn't somebody do something about that?
Well, there is a rule here, Zorb, and just to be pedantic, that trainers can't ride or jockeys can't train, etc. Right. So there's a different
rule.
Why
is it different?
It's the same in most states. Victoria.
Right, so it's only Victoria.
Victoria and South Australia, I remember, the only states that have a different rule.
Oh, so. Well, they do things a little differently.
So it's got
differently,
nothing to do with female?
No, not at all.
It's not female. Okay. No, it's all just... Right. Fair enough. All right, Zorb. Big week again. We'll speak again next week.
All right, boys.
See you, Pete.
Last round. It's got to.
It'll end.